Today on GeekCast number 29, it's part one of the Leo Laporte interview, plus some awesome tech news and some great announcements for this podcast, right here, right now, on the GeekCast.
Excuse me, what do you want to do tonight?
Same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
Podcasting at the speed of the internet. This is the GeekCast with Aaron Crocco.
Hello, everyone out there in the podcast nation. Welcome to the GeekCast. This is the GeekCast number 29 for Monday, May 23rd, 2005. I'd like to thank everybody for listening to the show, subscribing, all that good stuff. Thanks for listening. How are you? Let me get right into the contact information. I got a lot of stuff for you today. First off, the website where all the show notes are located. Go ahead and hit that up at www.livejournal.com/users/GeekCast. You can reach me via Skype under the username GeekCast. You can email me, geekcast@gmail.com. And finally, if you want the show notes automatically emailed to you, go ahead and send a blank email to geekcastpodcast-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. And you'll be subscribed to the GeekCast newsletter, which has all the show notes and nothing else. Again, I apologize for the show being a little late. It's again due to my work schedule and things surrounding that. I'm trying to get these out as fast as possible. Let me get right into a couple of announcements here. First off, if you haven't seen Star Wars, go see Star Wars. It's awesome. I'm not going to talk about it so I don't ruin it for anybody who hasn't seen it yet. But please, go and see it. It is definitely the best of the new trilogy. Second, I'd like to say thank you to everybody at the Tech Podcast website. The GeekCast has been accepted as a member of the Tech Podcast Network, and so that will be a little teaser that's also put into the show. You'll be able to find this show listed there, so I'd like to thank everybody who took part in that. And that's pretty much it. Anyhow, today is the Leo Laporte interview, so there's not going to be any other segments because of time constraints for the show. I still want to keep the show time down, so it's only going to be a short news announcement and then right into the interview. Alright, so with that, let's get right into the news. Okay, two quick stories for you. First, Google has announced a personalized version of Google, which is very, very strange because Google is usually about having nothing on their homepage. But you can now personalize Google to have weather, news, your Gmail, certain news sites listed on the front of Google's webpage. This is really interesting, and how is this going to affect Google in the future as far as the front of their webpage? I'm not really sure, but for more information, you can check it out at google.com/IG. Finally today, Steve Jobs has announced that iTunes version 4.9 is coming out soon. Soon is, well, in his definition, 60 days. Who knows if that holds true? We'll see. But the big announcement with iTunes 4.9 is that it's going to support podcasts. And this is very, very interesting because now, rumor has it, or this is what people think is going to happen, is that your podcasts, you will be able to upload them to the iTunes Music Store, and then you can even set a price for these podcasts. So now, well, if you want people to get your podcasts, you're on the iTunes Music Store. You don't have to use a Podcatcher client, you don't need to use iPodder, iPodder X, Doppler, any of those other programs. This will be very, very interesting. You can also set your price, so it'll be really interesting to see how this works. More details to follow on that. All right, so I'm going to get right into the Leo Laporte interview here. Just so you know, the interview is approximately 18 minutes, so if you want to fast forward to a certain point, that's fine. It is part one. I believe the interview will be in three parts. I'm still finishing up the editing of the audio, but it's going to be really cool. I hope you all enjoy it, and when the interview's over, I'll come back with all the closing information for the podcast, all right? Enjoy the interview, everybody. So with me today on the GeekCast is my very special guest, Leo Laporte. Thank you for joining me here on the show.
Sure. I guess I'm in the right place. If this is a GeekCast, it must be the place for me.
Oh, yeah. Definitely a geeky show. I don't know if you've had a chance to check out any of the MP3s.
I have them all on my iPod.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. That's what I do for the podcast now. Is I bought a Shuffle just for podcasting.
Oh, man.
And a Gigabyte Shuffle. And then I just download everything into it. Kind of randomly, so I, which is kind of fun.
It's truly a shuffle at that point.
It's a real shuffle. Yeah, and then I shuffle through podcasts, and that way I hear a variety of different stuff. Oh, there's so many podcasts, cool. you can't get to them all.
Yeah, there's too many. I end up having to delete a lot of the feeds that I used to subscribe to just because I couldn't keep up with them. And it's kind of like TiVo, you know? After a while, you have some shows you just don't feel like watching anymore. And you just
It's exactly like TiVo.
Take them off.
I felt like I kind of had to listen to a wide variety of stuff just so that I get a sense of what people are doing out there. And it's changing so fast, you know? I mean, there's just so much
absolutely.
Stuff to listen to. Yeah.
The podcasts out there, it's incredible how fast the whole thing is just building and becoming even commercial now. And it's, what, only 10 months, 11 months old now?
Yeah, well, I started in October 4th, so that would be, for me, it's been 8 months, yeah. And I guess September is really kind of considered the, I don't know, when did Adam start the Daily Source Code? I think it was September.
I think it was something like around September-ish.
Yeah. Well, he was doing it non-podcast for a while, I thought, and then.
I know he was doing it as part of just something for the developers to use to make sure the feeds would catch, but I don't really know past that.
Yeah.
So you've heard some of the show, you know about it. It's definitely a geeky show. I try to, you know, mix it up. It's actually semi-formatted after the screensavers in some fashion.
Wow, I'm flattered. Watch out, though. We're trying to do the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Okay,
Actual screensavers.
Exactly. See, mine's like the invitation. You have the actual thing, you know. Coke
I'm not trying to horn. I'm really not trying to horn in on your territory. It just happened.
Well, you were here first, so I don't know. I can't really argue with that one.
Hey, there's room for everyone. There really
exactly,
is.
Exactly.
Plenty of room.
And see, but you don't have to go crazy begging for votes on Podcast Alley, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm glad I don't have to do that. That same thing happened with me as a blogger. I started blogging fairly early on, not as early as I started podcasting, but like in 2001, early 2001.
Okay.
And I never really got into the whole blogging, you know, blog rolling, blog shares, all of that either. You know, for one thing, I have my own publicity engine, so I don't really need to generate publicity, and that's really I know that's why that happens, because people how do you get anybody to know about you? You got to find a way.
Exactly.
But also I never liked the kind of self-referential aspect of it all. It's like you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, and there was no, it wasn't so much paying attention to the audience or what you were creating. It was more it was circular. And so I kind of always felt a little bit like, And I guess this is my bias coming from old media, is like, well, shouldn't we just, you know, focus on doing a good program? And making the audience happy, and then not like, please vote for us, and, you know, buy our blog shares, and, you know, I just
Well, they've been saying a lot of that with podcasting, as far as a lot of people who listen to podcasts actually do podcasts themselves.
Yeah, it's just this closed universe.
Right, and I think that's going to be a major hurdle for this whole technology to just get by, where, you know, how are people who don't know anything about this, how are they going to get into it? And that's going to be a tough thing, I think.
Well, in a way, we're confusing the issue, because if you just say, well, go to my website and download my audio, people go, oh, I get it. Okay.
Right.
But as soon as you say podcast, they go, well, okay, I need software. I need an iPod.
I need
what
an iPod.
Deal?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And so in a way, the whole notion of a podcast appealing to a technical person who understands it and says, oh, I get the value of it. I don't have to know ahead of time that there's a show, it just arrives.
Right.
But it confuses normal people. We're talking right now about putting the new podcast on with one of the big internet radio companies wants to start hiring podcasts.
Okay.
And what comes up for me is the audience that they're talking to is really a general audience. It's such a big thing. It's a general audience. And I think those people, you say podcast to them and you say, well, you need some software, and they go, no, you know, I'll just look, I got this button here on my computer. It plays music.
Exactly.
That's what I want. I want it to be just like a radio.
Right.
And so, and it's just, by the way, probably the same reason TiVo, although the people who have TiVo love it, has not sold very well.
It's very tough to explain to people how a TiVo works. People say, well, you know, I don't want to bother with tape. Well, it doesn't use tape. Oh,
right,
but I don't want to, I can't even program my VCR. But you don't need, it's so easy to use.
And TiVo, which has the best word of mouth of any consumer product I've ever heard of.
Yes, definitely.
Isn't selling. So I think podcast has exactly the same problem, which is people don't get it.
Right.
And they're, it scares them.
Right. And at least with podcasting, as far as people listening to them, you know, they don't have to pay for it. So that's the good thing, because that's something everyone else always says. Well, how much is this going to cost me? What am I going to do? But then, like you said, people say, well, I don't have an iPod. And just explaining that you don't need an iPod to do it is a monumental task sometimes.
Yeah, I regret – as clever as the name podcasting is, and it certainly is the notion of podcasting and all the press – somewhat comes out of the name podcast and its association with the iPod.
Right.
At the same time, I regret it a little bit because, for the same exact reason,
exactly.
The association with the iPod confuses people also.
Right. It's the concept.
But I don't think we'd be getting all the press. I don't think Forbes would be writing about it. I don't think Newsweek would be writing about it if it didn't have something to do with iPod. Or if they didn't think it had something to do with iPod.
Of course. Well, it's so hot right now.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
if you just said, we're going to call it netcasting, and it's a way of taking internet audio and pushing it to people.
I'm asleep already.
Yeah, it's like, who cares? We've seen that. That's been around for 20
years.
Yeah,
well, that's
years.
What people would say is, well, I can just listen to, you know, click on the radio icon in iTunes and listen to that. You know, who cares?
What's new?
Right.
So I try to offer everything I do, I try to offer as a link that you can download from a web page. And I notice that probably, you know, more than half of the audience is getting it that way.
Right.
I tried as an experiment one podcast. I have three podcasts now. One of the feeds, podcast only. I wouldn't put a link to it. The only way you'd get this content is by subscribing to the podcast to see if that could work. And it didn't.
Yeah.
Nobody knew there was anything there.
People have no idea. Unless you tell them that there's something, it's just... Yeah. Dead in the water.
I'd get emails. People would just say, well, can you just put a link up? Because I just want to get the latest thing.
Right.
So I think you have to, that's, you know, one lesson is you have to do both at least.
Oh, it's a force of habit of people saying, okay, well, I can download this file and play it on my desktop.
I think podcasters make a mistake when they think of themselves as podcasters. They really should think of themselves as creating internet audio or audio, you know, web audio or whatever.
Right.
And podcasting is a means of delivery, but it's not what they are any more than a cable television show is cable casting. You know, it's
exactly,
not,
exactly.
It's a TV show.
I look at it as it's just talk radio for your computer or for your iPod if you go that far. But that's it. It's nothing special. It's something, you know, when you used to take a tape recorder when you were a kid and talk into it and just show it to your friends or something. That's all it really was.
Yeah. What it's piggybacking on, though, I think is, I mean, what music radio has been in trouble for a while now.
Oh, yeah.
The success of the iPod, people are listening to their iPods in their car, not music radio. And so I think this is the next step in the transformation where people will stop listening to talk radio as well because they'll have so many more interesting choices on the internet.
Right.
And that to me is pretty exciting. And once you do get, you know, once you grok the notion of podcasting and you get a good client and you start downloading stuff, then it's pretty cool because, you know, I comb through the directories and I add feeds and then, you know, I use iTunes. I'm on a Mac. I use iTunes.
Right.
It just shows up on my shuffle and, you know, that's pretty cool. I mean, it looks like I have about 20 or 30 subscriptions right now.
Oh,
that's
wow.
A lot of stuff.
Mine's one of those, right?
Absolutely. Let me see. Yeah, Geekcast, yeah, there it is.
Yeah, it's great. I love the PodSafe music feeds that are out there because it's so hard, with listening to the iPod, it's great because you don't have to listen to the radio and deal with the commercials and the DJs who, you know, just are stupid half the time. And the downfall to that I found is that you don't get to hear anything new. There's no new music that comes in. You know, my girlfriend will be listening to the radio, and she'll say, oh, this is a great song. And I'm like, what is this? I have no idea.
Right. Yeah, it's funny. I don't listen to a lot of music podcasts. I could see why you would. I listen to Coverville once in a while. I used to get the Frank Truth, which is a Frank Sinatra podcast. That seemed better in the idea of it than the actual execution. And then I like Thomas Edison's Attic. But that gets tiresome after a while. I haven't listened to a lot
of
the other stuff.
There's a couple of them where they're not even podcasts. It's just a feed where you'll actually just download the song itself. No DJ, no format, no nothing. Just
oh, really?
One song.
And what kind of music is it? It's all PodSafe?
Yeah, it's all PodSafe music.
Well, yeah, I have to try some more of those. I mean, it's because I'm old. I listen to the same songs over and over. And also, I have, and I probably should overcome this, but I think I'm not alone, this prejudice that if the record labels haven't picked it up, it can't be very good. which I know is bogus. I know it's a terrible thing to say.
I think it's actually the exact opposite. Most of the bands that are out are carbon copies of each other. They all have the same exact sound that just – it's annoying. You hear a song and you say, wow, it could be one of seven bands at the moment.
And well, you've convinced me now. I'm going to have to start listening to more music podcasts. Maybe I don't. Maybe I don't need any of those bland songs on my iPod after all. Maybe
it's, you can always
you know what I was getting? There's
off.
One. There's one feed that's just the top 40 MP3s out there. You know, the most linked to MP3s. I think I don't know if it's Blogdex or somebody does it, and that's fun. You never know what you're going to get on that one. I also have one for Flash files, which you just you get bizarre stuff.
I guess I'll get into the first question that I...
This is an interview. Yeah, sorry.
That I strategically typed out very quickly at 10:30 this morning.
Yeah, you know? Good.
One of the first
You're
things I was...
You're more prepared
than I. I didn't send you these in advance, so you never know.
No.
But one of the first questions I had was, what was your first television appearance?
Appearance?
Yeah. Or of any sort, just like the first time you were on television.
First time I was on television, I mean, I've been a broadcaster for almost 30 years, and I used to show up on TV from time to time for non-tech stuff, you know. I was a radio personality in San Francisco, and you know, you would do things like the local PBS auction and stuff like that, be an auctioneer for that, and stuff like that. So, I mean, there'd always been a little television here and there. The first The first time I made a regular's appearance on TV were in 1994, I think, or maybe five. I started doing a regular segment on a PBS show called I don't remember what it was called, but
it was some show. Well, of
it
some
was.
Sort
it's
somewhere.
Probably on my resume. I'll have to look. It was, but it was a book show, and I would do a segment at the end reviewing. This is how long ago this was, multimedia CDs.
Oh, wow.
Everybody thought that was going to be the next big thing. So I was reviewing multimedia CDs. And then I started doing work for a local TV channel as a kind of a tech commentator slash reviewer for a tech show that they ran.
Okay.
And so I was doing both of those. And at the time, I think I was working for Ziff Davis, supposedly developing television. We did a very bad TV show in 94. Gina Smith and I co-hosted it, called The Personal Computing Show, that Ziff Davis produced and then sold, actually bought airtime for on CNBC and Lifetime and stuff like that. They canceled that after one season. That didn't.
Yeah, I was going to say, I never heard of that one.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't have. They hired me to do actually a news show, a half-hour news show. They never got that off the ground. The whole thing was supposed to be financed by an hour of computer shopping after it. That's why they bought the airtime. They thought, we'll do an hour of editorial, 2 half-hour editorial shows, and then an hour of shopping. We'll buy 2-hour blocks, and the shopping will be this huge revenue stream.
Right.
And then it turns out the people who were doing the shopping show were kind of a little shady or something. It fell through. Okay. So then they couldn't really justify doing the editorial portion of it. But Gina and I did, I think, 13 episodes of that. And,
oh, wow.
And I stayed with the company. I stayed with Ziff Davis because they didn't fire me. So
always a good reason, right?
So I stayed with them, and you know, for a year, really got paid to just kind of pretend to be developing television shows, and then
that's when
MSNBC. Yeah, it was a great job. And it was during that time that I was able to really kind of hone my TV chops. I started doing a lot of other TV, like this Kron, the Channel 4 thing, and the internet show I did.
Right.
And then MSNBC, or actually NBC came to us and said, we have started a news channel with Microsoft. We're going to launch 96. And we want, because it's a partnership with Microsoft, we need to do a daily tech show. And this was just before Christmas. And we had a rush. We had a rush out of treatment. I wrote a pretty long treatment for a show, which we then went to. I went to New York City with some ZD executives, and we went to the top of 30 Rock, and the president of NBC News, his name was Andy Lack at the time, came in and put his big cowboy boots up on the table, said, all right, what do you got, guys? And we pitched this show, and they loved it. So we ended up doing it
was that
for
the
18
site?
Months. That was the site.
Okay. I used to watch that show, actually.
You know, it was a really good example of why the networks will never do good technology television. It was a really slick, well-produced show,
yeah,
but they didn't get it. So it was a show that appealed to neither geeks nor the general public. It was right. It appealed to no one.
I remember
at the time
watching...
CNET was doing its own TV stuff, and I think that they were a little bit closer. But you know, one of the reasons I really wanted to work on ZDTV and later Tech TV is because I was never happy with any of the technology television. I thought it could be done differently.
Well, there barely was any to begin with.
Well, there was Stuart Chaffee did Computer Chronicles for almost, I think, 12 years for a long time, and that was about the only thing. And then they developed some other shows. Public television had computer television or technology television for a long time.
Okay.
And then there was the site, which is the network's first and last attempt to do it. And they were never happy. You know, and Lack
setting
would come,
the standard.
Yeah, Lack would come from New York City. He would come out and with his, you know, his vice president henchman. And he'd say, we want the show to be this much smarter. He'd hold up his fingers and show, you know, like a millimeter. This much smarter. And then, you know, we'd look at each other and go, how much smarter is that? what does that mean? How do you implement
translate?
That? Yeah, exactly. So that was a really good example of that's how networks work. I am kind of embittered by the whole process, frankly.
I could imagine. We're going to get into that. We're going to get into that whole thing. I, you know, you said it was okay to ask
anything.
Any type of question.
Anything
I,
you
I
want.
I wanted to make sure there was no legalities or anything. So you said.
Well,
cool.
I mean, I'll tell you if I can. There are some things I can't
right.
say.
I'm
bound by contracts of various
contracts,
draconian
contracts,
types.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the biggest one, in fact, really the only one I think that's binding at this point is one that I signed when I left Tech TV. And I'll have to get it out and read it to you if you ask me any questions.
That's okay. I'll tell you
what I can say. I don't know. You know, I don't even know. I should probably look at it.
You know, like your next child is given to them.
No, they just would sue the hell out of me.
Oh, boy. You got
so go ahead. Ask questions and I'll answer.
I noticed there's
an aesthetic in podcasting that almost seems like don't edit. Whatever you do, don't edit.
Right.
Adam never edits.
Yeah. It's weird, though, because you know what? People ramble in general.
I think they should edit.
Yes. I agree. It's because
I'll tell you why I think
ramble.
You should edit. I think you're wasting listeners' time.
You
know, Adam will be talking. The phone will ring.
Right.
We'll have a conversation. That's cute the first time, I guess. Oh, look, he's letting us into his life. Also, well, no, we're going to give you – we've come from, and I understand this, the world where everything is polished to a fine sheen.
Right.
We've decided to give you the rough cut because we know that's what you want. And I understand that completely.
But I think the effect of that wears off after a while of the appeal of it. It just goes away.
It does for me, because I don't have a good fast-forward button on my shuffle. So
right.
I'm stuck listening to a lot of this.
Well, for me, a lot of podcasts become background noise. And that bothers me a lot. Because if I'm taking the time to listen to somebody's show, I want to listen.
Right.
I want to hear what they have to say. And
regardless don't waste
of the content,
my time.
Exactly.
That would be a message I would give podcasters. Don't waste my time.
Ooh, I'm going to turn that into a promo now.
Seriously, podcasters need to think more. And I know this is what Adam and Ron have talked about. Podcasters need to think more about listeners.
Yes.
And less about I don't know what else they're thinking about, because ultimately that's who you're doing it for.
All right, so that's going to do it for this edition of the GeekCast. Again, GeekCast number 29 for May 23rd, 2005. I'd like to thank everybody for listening, subscribing, all that good stuff. Again, the website is livejournal.com/users/GeekCast. The email address is geekcast@gmail.com. You can also Skype me on the username Skype, and you can get the show notes from sending a blank email to geekcastpodcast-subscribe@yahoogoogs.com. Finally, my feed is feeds.feedburner.com/geekcast. Again, thank you all for listening. Next edition, part 2 of the Leo Laporte interview. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Initiating shutdown sequence.